We're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 21 again today, just to make sure to maintain context as far as the scriptures go. That's very important to take things in context. Did you know I can build any religion I want to out of just a few verses in the Bible? You say, how do you know you can do that? Because lots of people have done it. Okay? And so we want to make sure to have a context with everything, that things are done according to the entirety of Scripture. Amen? Because you know what? From cover to cover, this book gets along with itself. Amen? And so let's just keep it that way. No contradictions, amen? So let's stand, if we can, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, as we read the Scriptures. And I would like for you to join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses, and I'll begin in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? As we look at this and continue to look at this passage of Scripture, I hope you're understanding what Jesus is talking about as he's trying to relate to the Pharisees and to the people these truths about him and about his Father and about the sheep and all of these things that are taking place. You understand that last week we talked about the Pharisees and Phariseeism and how it was all focused on them. Okay? It's very selfish. And let me tell you something. That's not different in this world today. For the most part, religion or church, if you will, is very selfish. The majority of people go to church saying, God, what do you have for me? Hey, can I tell you, that's not what church is about. Church is about worshiping God. Going to church is about, God, what can I give to you? See, that's very unselfish. And all through the Scriptures, God's telling us about ourselves and about our human nature, the natural man, the carnal man. And guess what? Our three favorite people are me, myself, and I. They are. And we love to please ourselves. That's why there's so much content in the New Testament about denying ourselves, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, crucifying those things, setting them aside, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, right? Not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. There's this constant battle that we go through day by day. And it's anchored in selfishness and pride and arrogancy and all those things that go along with it. By the way, if you will, is kind of the root of everything, isn't it? Because that old devil, Lucifer, right? He said, I will. Right? He had an eye problem, right? And for that, out he goes. And so you understand that in Genesis 3, he's passing that on to mankind. God's crowning creation, if you will. Right? Created perfect there in the garden. Man and woman, they were to tend to the garden, care for everything. They were created in the image of God, and they were given one thing to watch out for. Just one. Wouldn't life be grand if you only had to worry about one law, one rule? Yeah. But guess what? We'd probably have the same problem they did. Hello. Listen, he comes in there and he says, hey, ye hath God said. The Lord doth know that when ye eat of the fruit, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Hey, you know what? Was that part a lie? No, wasn't. But was it what they were supposed to do? No. They were supposed to trust God. They were supposed to follow God. They were supposed to obey God. You understand that the devil is sly. He's deceitful. He's tricky. That's what he does. And guess what? He at this point in time, as Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, listen, were the things that God set up bad for the children of Israel? The way they were to go about things? The different laws and the different things of cleanliness and the different ways of the different feasts and the tabernacle and all those. Were those things bad? No, but over time, what happened? There's a little dip there. The devil started twisting those things around to where now they weren't worshiping God, they were worshiping themselves. We've got to be careful. We've got to understand that we need to listen and stay true to the voice of the shepherd. We need to hear his voice. And hey, don't listen to those other voices. What happened to Adam and Eve? They listened to that other voice. What happened to the children of Israel as they went through their time? And listen, if you go through and read through the Old Testament, you see this roller coaster. Right? Up and down and sometimes curlicue and sideways and it's a mess. But you know what? Our lives really aren't much different. Just take a look back. Those of you that have been born again, those of you that are believers in Christ, we have times where we're up and down. Sometimes we're sideways. Sometimes we're upside down. And sometimes we're right side up on that hill, on mountaintop, aren't we? But you know, we need to stay true to the shepherd. We know that Jesus, as he's going through here, he speaks of these things. As it pertains to these false shepherds and these thieves and robbers and even this mention of the hireling, you understand that these are all those that are without. Jesus Christ needs to be the one. Listen to me. I know I'm the pastor of the church. I know what my position is, if you will. And guess what? Your love and admiration and everything is not to be focused on me. It's supposed to be focused on Jesus Christ, the shepherd, the chief shepherd. And you know, it's okay to love and appreciate someone. That's nice, but that's not where it's supposed to be tuned, do you understand? Because Jesus Christ is the one who's the shepherd of the flock. I just get to be a helper. And that's what my part in this as far as these things go. But you know what? And I'm going to care for the flock because it's his flock. And I want to please him. Did you all know that I'm not here to please you? I'm not. Now, I'm going to do my best to be cordial and to please you if I can. But that's not my job. My job is to please him. Because he's the shepherd. And he's the one that's put me here in this place to be a blessing to you. Right? On his account. And that's what I want to do. Do you understand that the Pharisees lost that? They lost that. They were supposed to be feeding the people. And we talked about the different passages in Scripture where God berates them and says, hey, listen, you're feeding yourselves. And you're taking for yourselves. And he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. He said that in the New Testament. You understand that Jesus was not happy with these Pharisees. Because they had undermined what their whole position was all about. And listen, as we go through this, we're going to see this toward the end here, verses 20 and 21. But you understand that at the crucifixion, they should have got it. Right? They see this man crucified. He dies. He gives up the ghost. The veil of the temple is rent in twain. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. And all of this happens. A little light bulb should have gone off in their little brains. Saying, oh, we read this in Scripture somewhere. But you know what didn't happen? That didn't happen. For most of them. And what they do? When the angels came and rolled the stone away and Christ rose from the dead, what? They paid off the guards. So that they could maintain their religion. Their position. Feeding themselves. Taking for themselves. That's what he's talking about. He says these thieves and these robbers, they're only come for themselves. They're only come to get for themselves. And that's all they're worried about. He said, but I'm the good shepherd. And I'm here to give, not to get. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came to lay down his life. Jesus Christ came to be that sacrifice for us because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what a shepherd does. You know, I've decided that in my life here in this service of the Lord, I'm willing to spend and be spent for you. I really am. And you know what? I'm even willing to give my life for y'all. I am. If that's what it takes. And you know what? I count that okay. I am perfectly okay with that. If that's what it takes, I'm going to stand for this book. I'm going to stand for my Lord. And if it means my life, then so be it. If that's what it takes. That's how we all should feel about this. Because it's not about us, it's about him. It's not, I don't come to church, you don't understand, I don't come to church because y'all give me a paycheck. I don't. If I didn't get a paycheck, I'd still come. That's just me, I'm just built that way. And because I've decided now after being saved this many years, almost 40 years, probably 38 years or so, that he's way more valuable than anything else I can possess in this world. I get that he's more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones, and that he's sweeter than honey. I get that. And we all need to get to the place where we get that. And Jesus Christ is this shepherd, and these others are just, it's just all a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's a sideshow. And he goes on and he explains how these hirelings, and they're not going to stay with the sheep. When they see the wolf coming, they leave, and because it's not really about the sheep and the shepherd. It's about them and their own preservation. You understand that many times here, and even at several different places, that they tried to capture him and tried to maybe stone him, and they didn't because of the people. And finally, it all worked out in culmination, you understand, where he was able to be captured and crucified, and they thought they had done something grand. And really, they just fulfilled what God had in mind to purchase our salvation. And really to purchase theirs if they would have it. You understand that many of the priests and the Pharisees actually did get saved eventually. But of course, several did not. But salvation was available to all of them. Did you notice in verse 21, they were divided there in 19 through 21. He said, many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, are not the words of him that hath a devil? These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Some people think this might have been Nicodemus standing up for the Lord. Remember that he came to Jesus by night, being a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. I think some of them were divided. And we're even told in Scripture that many of them did trust Christ as their Savior. We need to make sure that we understand that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and there are false shepherds in this world. They're only concerned with personal gain. Then let me just stop right here for a second. Take a good look at religion today. And just ask yourself, what's going on here? Is this for the Lord? Or is this for men? Just think about it. I'm not against material possessions. I'm not. But you know what? There comes a point in time where you can see a tipping point where things matter more to people than other things do. And you can see that. Just look at religion out there today. What do you see? Right? It's pretty easy to notice. When you looked at the Pharisees, guess what you saw? That's what you saw. When they come into the treasury, right? And they're giving all their beautiful gifts to the Lord. And then this widow comes in with two mites. What does Jesus say? That's the one. That's the one there. I hope you understand what Jesus is trying to communicate here. We need to make sure that as sheep, we are not listening to any other voice. We're not being deceived. We're understanding that He is our shepherd. And the evidence of it is He's sacrificial. He's willing to give His life for the sheep. That's what He sets Him apart from the others. In verse 15, He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We know that the false shepherds or the hirelings are only in it for their personal gain. There's a couple of scriptures, but I think it's important to notice about these things of the hirelings and false shepherds. In Job chapter 7, Job makes an interesting statement in verses 1 through 4. He says this, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. Does that sound like satisfaction to you? Kind of sounds like what Solomon said about all things being vanity, right? These days under the sun. And all Job is trying to say is here, he's trying to give us the spirit and the attitude of the hireling. It's all about the hireling. When do I get off work? When do I get paid? You know, I'm looking for he said he's looking for the desire at the shadow and looking for the reward of his work. And you know what? We can be that way, can't we? Focused on this life. But guess what the Bible says in Colossians? Set not your affection on things here on this earth, but on what? Things above. What did Jesus say? He said, Lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven. You see, it's a perspective. We need to have the right perspective. Jesus had the right perspective. He was focused on the will and the work of the Father. The Pharisees were focused on the will and work of themselves. For what benefited them and what was best for them and their status and stature. In Luke chapter 16, remember the disciples were being told about the certain rich man which had his steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear of this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. He said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which he is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We need to understand these things that Jesus speaks of. You see, the Pharisees were trying to play both games, weren't they? They were trying to please God and follow God. That was their justification, wasn't it? But what was really their choice and their decision? To please themselves. To serve themselves. And folks, we cannot serve two masters. You're not going to be successful in the Christian life if you try to follow the voices of the thieves and the robbers and the hirelings and not follow the voice of the Savior. And guess what? You can't follow both voices. You can't. The Bible says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In 1 John, it tells us if we say that we have no darkness, right? And all of that, it says that if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're supposed to, as sheep, follow the voice of the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the true shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one that cares for and concerned for the welfare of his flock. Even to the point that he'll give his life for those sheep. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible tells us, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you notice that? It was a joy for the Lord to do this. Yeah. You know what? I think sometimes we think of the Christian life as a drudgery. Oh, we have to do this. And we don't get to do that. And we have to go to church. And we have to dress this way. And we have to do this. And we have to say that. And, oh, woe is me. We have a little bit of an Eeyore complex, I think, when it comes to Christianity. Where's the joy of your salvation? Where's the, I'm looking at a group of good people today. I know that for sure. But listen to this. How many of you actually were excited about coming to church? Don't raise your hand. No one. we ought to be. We ought to think about this as a sheep. The sheep love the shepherd. He leads them in and he leads them out. He takes them and they look bad. You know, I think maybe they got a smile on their face when they say that. Hello, shepherd. You know, are we excited? Hey, the shepherd says it's time to go down to get a drink of water. Yay. We go down. Oh, the shepherd says it's time to go to the pasture. Yay. Oh, the shepherd says it's time to go into the sheepfold. Yay. There, I got the little echo in there. This ought to be our joy. We ought to read through the scriptures and see the things that God has for us. Hey, we get to live holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Yay. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Yay. We get to have more church. There, I'm getting good at that. Oh, we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Yay! And we ought to have the joy of life in Christ. Because He's our shepherd. Hey, you know what? There wasn't much joy in Phariseeism. Because it was a list of cold, hard rules and if you don't do this, that's not how life in Christ is. These commands are not grievous. The commands of the shepherd aren't grievous to the sheep because the sheep know that he loves them. And this is for their benefit. And folks, we've got to get our minds wrapped around this. These things, listen, we believe in standards and separation and living holy unto the Lord. We believe that here in this church. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a happy thing. It's a joyful thing. They aren't restrictions. Do you understand that? It's not a restriction. It's God putting these things in our lives to keep us safe. To keep us in His love. To keep us in His will. He wants for us to blossom and have an abundant life. We're the ones that are negative about this stuff. And guess where that negativity comes from? You got it. That old devil. That thief and robber. He's trying to talk us into something else. And that's not what it is at all. In Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Remember, we've been studying in James about that. That when we should count it all joy when we enter into diverse temptations. He says, this is how life in Christ as the good shepherd is. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, so much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's how it is for the sheep and the sacrificial shepherd who's given Himself for the sheep. In verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You understand what that's talking about? That God had a redemptive plan for both Jew and Gentile. Aren't you glad for that? Come on now. I'm pretty confident that almost everybody in here is a Gentile. Okay, and if you are of Jewish descent, God bless you. Okay, that's wonderful. But for the most part, we is all Gentiles. All right, I like to abuse grammar every once in a while just for fun. Now, aren't you glad that Christ died for us? Remember what Paul said in Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we're in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, the Bible tells us, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." God has given us eternal life. For God so loved the world. Didn't say, "For God so loved the Israelite." It said, "For God so loved the world." We know that Paul was called to be an ambassador to the Gentiles. We know that Peter answered the call of God to go visit Cornelius, who was not a Jew. He was not of Israelite descent. He was a devout man. He did fear God. He gave much to the people. He prayed to God always. And God said, "Hey, I got something for you. I've got salvation for you. Just go send for this guy. He'll come tell you all about it." And what happened? Peter was up there having a vision. All these things came down. "Rise, Peter, kill him." You know the story. He went and he preached to Cornelius in his house. And guess what they did? They got saved. Paul was able to go across the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They got to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, spreading the gospel to everyone that would hear. Over in Acts 13, it talks about the church there in Antioch. You understand that the church in Antioch wasn't a church of a bunch of Jewish folks. It was a mixture of all peoples. And it says, "And now in the church that was Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." All these things happen for a purpose. He said, "Hey, over here," he said, "I've got other sheep that are not of this fold." Who was he talking to at that time? Jews. And he was ministering to them. As he said, "Hey, I'm going to bring these in so that they might believe and they might be brought in to join us, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd." You understand that today there are many local churches. Yeah. You know that God's for the local church? I remember, beware of a doctrine out there called the universal church. Okay, beware of that. All right, can I tell you something? There will be a universal church one day. But that's not until later. Right now, you know what it is? Local churches. Who's the shepherd of each local church? Jesus. He said, "Well, that makes it universal." No, we meet here, they meet there, they meet there, they meet there, they meet there. And one day we'll all be gathered up together. I had to write a paper in church ed class about the church. And that was about the time where that those books for dummies was coming out. So I wrote one, the Universal Church for Dummies. And you say, "What was the content of your paper?" The scriptures. It was actually really simple. And anybody could understand it. But you have to understand that's going to be in time to come. Just as the gospel went to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to understand that this is how Jesus works. He works according to his word. We know that Jesus Christ is the head cornerstone of the building. Jesus ought to be the cornerstone of your building, your personal life. He ought to be the cornerstone of the local church. And guess what? He's the cornerstone of all things. Because he is preeminent. That means he gets first place, doesn't it? That's Jesus Christ, our shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible tells us, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You think the shepherd wants his sheep to be confused? Do you think the shepherd wants the sheep to be confounded? No. He wants them to be satisfied. He wants them to be understanding, full of wisdom. Whose wisdom? God's wisdom. That's what the chief shepherd wants for us. It says here, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You understand that God has a purpose for his sheep. He wants to bring them into one fold and one shepherd. He says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So after Jesus gets done saying all these things, there was a division again among the Jews. Many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? As we close today, I just want you to think about some things. Where are you at when it comes to your decision? After Jesus had spoken these words and spoken these things about himself as the shepherd, being the door, talking about the sheepfold and the thieves and the robbers and the hirelings, and all these things, there was a division again among the Jews. Some said, why do you hear him? And some said, you should hear him. Where are you today? Which side are you on? We need to make a decision when it's as far as it is concerning this sacrificial shepherd of the sheep. The one who has laid down his life for us. You know, in Isaiah 53, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare his sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We know that's a prophetic scripture about Christ in Isaiah. We need to make sure we're on the right side of this division, this saying. Some said he's a devil. He hath a devil and is mad. Others said these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Today, there are two different types of people here in this room. There are some that are the sheep of his pasture, and you know his voice. And there's some that are not. Of the sheep that know his voice, some of us are following only his voice. Some of us are unfortunately listening to the voices of others. We've got to be single in heart. We've got to make a decision today. I was taught in Bible college that preaching is meant to bring people to a point of decision. Will you decide? If you're a sheep, be a happy sheep. Listen to his voice. If you're not a sheep, you can become one. But don't be a sheep that is a sheep but doesn't listen to the voice of the shepherd. Decide that he's a good shepherd. That he's your shepherd. He's given his life for you. He's sacrificed himself for you. He ought to be your everything. And that's how we should live.